The fourth joyful mystery, the presentation. The Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22.
And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marvelled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and as a widow till she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God, and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Many years ago, I was in conversation with a fellow Anglican clergyman about our respective practices in the faith. He told me very seriously that he could never use the Book of Common Prayer, the defining liturgical document of the Anglican Church, and he could never use it because of its sexism. As I used it all the time, I was puzzled. And I inquired further the specific source of his distress. There was in this book, he said, a service for the churching of women after childbirth, which stated that women were dirty and impure after childbirth and needed forgiveness and cleansing. As this was a service that I regularly used and had never noticed these supposed enormities, I suggested we get out a copy of the offending publication and he could point out the bad theology. Several minutes later, and after much desperate page flicking, that the service is only two psalms, two prayers and an Our Father long, my young colleague had to admit defeat, though someone had assured him it was in there somewhere. The truth was that the service was a simple thanksgiving after childbirth for a successful delivery and the survival of mother and child. Because we take such an outcome as normative in our lifetimes, the majority never stop to come to church to give thanks to God. But for most of human history, childbirth has always been fraught with danger and, when successful, subsequent enormous gratitude. There is, it is true, something in the Bible about women being unclean after childbirth, but this is not a term of abuse or a comment on their personal hygiene. It is a religious term to declare quite simply that they were off limits to their menfolk before between 40 and 60 days after giving birth. In other words, it was a religious discipline on the men. And grateful most women were for that precious respite in the first critical couple of months with their newborn child. Anyway, we have rather lost in our modern culture both the natural response of gratitude to God and respect for our women folk and their motherhood. This particular mystery, the presentation, involves these aspects of faith and much more. It was the duty of parents to bring their child to the temple and give thanks for the gift of his life and offer sacrifice to God and dedicate the child. We know from the Gospel account that Mary and Joseph were not wealthy because they offered the sacrifice of the poor, a pair of doves. But amongst the crowds hurrying in and around the temple, this apparently insignificant little family is the bringer of great historical events to the centre of the kingdom. We do not know for sure when the Ark of the Covenant departed from the temple or was stolen or ransacked. There is no record of the final resting place of the precious chest that housed the word of God from Sinai, given to the world via the prophet Moses. What we do know, with the benefit of faith and hindsight, is that this is the very moment when it returns. The Ark is, of course, no longer a chest with cherubim figures. It is now a young woman, virgin daughter of Israel, who has borne the word of God into the world in obedience to his call and in openness to his Holy Spirit. Ark of the Covenant is one of the great titles of Our Lady. And now, centuries after the glory departed from Israel, the Word himself returns. This time not inscribed on stone or papyrus, but in the living flesh of man, in Jesus Christ. The Word has become flesh and returns to the temple. And there he is greeted by two figures who represent the faithful of all ages, Simeon and Anna. The old man Simeon is the bearer of a promise. God will not let him die until he has seen the Lord's Christ. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, we are told. Everybody in the first two chapters of Luke is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's a veritable festival of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Simeon hastens to the temple to greet the Holy Family. And taking the Christ child in his arms, he proclaims the future and claims his promise from God. What must it have been like to suddenly have your babe taken from your arms by an ecstatic old man pronouncing him the glory of Israel and the light for the pagans? Old Simeon is a prophet of God. His name means simply, "The Lord has heard my prayer." And what is his prayer? It is that extraordinary prayer that we should one day make our own in the face of our own dying. The lovely canticle that graces evening prayer and night office, the Nunc Dimittis. Imagine being able to say this on our deathbeds and welcome the summoning, the homecoming of our souls. Lord, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. But that is not all. As Mary and Joseph marvel at this prophecy, Simeon continues. Simeon blesses them. Imagine that. The Holy Spirit of God leads this old man to welcome his own death and to bless Our Lady and Saint Joseph and the newborn child. What a ministry. What a privilege to be given. To bless Our Lady and Saint Joseph and bless the Christ child. But it is, of course, a privilege in which we participate every time we say the rosary. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Pray for us, sinners, now and at the hour of our death. But Simeon does not end there. His prophecy embraces the Calvary, the death that will give hope to all who die in God's grace. The Christ child, he says, is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. A man's response to Christ will indeed determine his fate. All other religions, all other philosophies, all other creeds must either accept or reject him, explain him or explain him away. He will indeed be a sign who will be spoken against. And a sword will pierce your own soul also. Simeon foresees the Pietà, the child once more in the arms of his mother, deposed from the cross, derelict, broken, grave-bound. The great promise of the archangel now in the corpus, awaiting the shroud and the dust of human death. At least that's how it seems. The presentation is one of the most extraordinary and moving accounts for me in Holy Scripture. From the joy of childbirth, the deliverance, the thanksgiving, the confirmation of the vocation of the Holy Family, right the way through to the dust of death, to the depths of human cruelty, the sorrow of the faithful, and the joyful triumph which will embrace the chosen of God and all the nations of the earth. It's all here in this mystery. And not forgetting Anna, the old prophetess who never leaves the temple, fasting and praying all the long years of her widowhood, she not only gives thanks to God for Jesus, but she evangelizes. She tells all who will listen to her that he is to be the redemption of Jerusalem. She knows the Lord has returned to his holy temple. We thank him. We glorify him. We bless his most blessed mother, Mary, and her most chaste spouse, Saint Joseph. And we need not fear death if we have invited him into the capital city of our hearts and enthroned him there. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those who have most need of thy mercy.
Amen.